But before we start, I want you guys to take a look at this video.
A rebel took to the streets. He recruited others to join him. They quit their jobs, left their families, and swore allegiance to him. They roamed the hood, challenged authority, and made a lot of people uneasy. Community leaders feared them. Religious leaders abhorred them. Law enforcement labeled them outlaws. We have to shut them down, they said. Get them off the streets. Protect our communities from these troublemakers. But they weren't part of a gang spreading hate and terror. They were spreading love.
Yeah, come on now. Yeah, so last year we did a series for almost the entire summer called Jesus Gets Us. We are actually bringing it back. Jesus Gets Us actually put out a whole new series of videos that we're going to be building our messages around, myself, Pastor Brad, and Pastor Dana, and we are so excited. If you are going to invite anybody this summer, if you were going to do that, it would be during this time, would be a great time because it is going to be amazing. Today, Pastor Brad and I want to take a Sunday just to talk to you about money and tithe. Come on, give me a minute. We don't do this a lot, but today I just felt like we need to do some discipleship today, and I know that you probably immediately felt your pulse increase, your muscles probably tightened a little bit. In fact, if you're a first-time visitor, you're probably like, seriously? What the Lord has for us today, and my heart is that everybody would be open to what Pastor Brad and I have been given from the Lord, and that it would stimulate some deep thinking regarding your tithe. I want us to look at God's word together, receive encouragement, and allow the Holy Spirit to talk to us regarding the tithe. Now, I want to go right into Matthew chapter 6. It's actually from the greatest sermon ever preached by our Lord and Jesus, and he did it on the Sermon on the Mount. And it starts, I just want to read a couple of verses. Matthew 6, starting with verse 19, and it says this. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Now, that is an incredibly important message for all of us to get to understanding that what we're doing here now is actually for the eternal. Amen? And I don't know if you, when we moved out here from California in 2007, we came with a lot of stuff, but we had these three luggage storage cases. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. They look like this right here. We had three of them. And I had put them in the storage shed when we first moved there. And then as we lived there a few years, I started pulling one out. We'd go through it and then get the second one. And I had forgotten about the third. And so in 2012, I think Hurricane Sandy hit. And I had gone out after the whole turmoil and went out and looked in the shed. And everything looked good. Everything looked dry. Nothing to worry me. I think it was a couple years later, I had a riding lawnmower, and I had a new push mower that I got, and I was putting it in there. When I did, I looked to the back left corner, and I saw that I had one more of these luggage cases back there. I go, oh my goodness, you know, so I start moving stuff, and I pull it out, and immediately I can tell it has been damaged. You know, like there had been water where when Sandy hit, it was blowing water like this, and it had gotten in this one section and had destroyed everything that was in that case. When I opened it up, everything from when I was 7 years old until I was 22 regarding sports that I had, newspaper articles, uniforms, pictures, track ribbons, you name it, whatever it was destroyed, covered in moss, black mold and rust. And guys, I'm just sitting there looking at it instantly. Everything here's the whole thing is, I hadn't even looked in that thing in years. I had stored it up and everything, but it was destroyed instantly, covered in rust and all this. And God just literally today kind of reminded me of this, that what if we're storing up for things here, if that's what it is about building up things here, we don't take a dime with us when we leave this place. Guys, earth is not our home. Hebrews 11:6 says we are citizens of a better country, a heavenly one. So the question, first question is this, is whose money is it? So if we say my money, which is the flesh response, look, guys, listen, I got a wallet here. And the thing is that I can throw it on there and act like, I don't care. I that's my why, you know. But the whole thing is, guys, while I'm speaking, I would be worried that Brad's going to pick up my wallet and walk off with it. You know what I'm saying? So I can act like I don't, No, listen, man, we all have a fleshly response when it comes to money and everything. Ryder, I want that back after service, buddy. But no, I'm joking. But guys, if it is yours and you really feel that in your heart, it's my money, then you have to manage it. And did you know that outside of God, that even for people who are not following Christ, God gives us this ability, which is in our brain, to kind of in a way slightly manage our money. But when we say it, if it's God's, then we must steward it. So how are you doing with the money that God has given you? What priority does God have in how you deal with your money? And I believe to be able to answer these questions honestly and to have a true heart's response regarding God in our tithe, it always helps to have some biblical background and teaching regarding our giving. Pastor Brad?
I'm sorry, buddy. He was going to keep the mic. We're passing the baton. Hopefully I don't drop it. But isn't that good? Good thought right there. And watch out for your storage bins, that's for sure. Well, seriously, though, the issue with money is much more than how much is in our wallet. It's really what's in our heart, isn't it? That's what we're talking about. And to understand this better, we're going to look at a principle called the law of first things. The law of first things. If you have your Bibles, open them to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus 13, verses 1 through 2 and then 11 through 14. Read along with me. You'll see it up on the screen. This is from the New Living Translation. It says, all right, we'll talk, two firstborns married to each other? That's scary. Okay, anyway. The first offspring to be born of both humans and animals belongs to me. This is what you must do when the Lord fulfills the promise he swore to you and to your ancestors. When he gives you the land where the Canaanites now live, you must present all firstborn sons and firstborn male animals to the Lord, for they belong to him. A firstborn donkey may be brought back or bought back from the Lord by presenting a lamb or young goat in its place. But if you do not buy it back, you must break its neck. However, you must buy back every firstborn son. Don't break his neck. The bad news is, though, you can't turn your son back in for a refund. You got to buy him, all right? And in the future, your children will ask you, what does all this mean? Then you will tell them, with the power of his mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, the place of our slavery. So here it is. The Lord is establishing a principle here that what is first belongs to him. Would you say that with me? What is first belongs to him. Now, if it was a bull, a ram, a sheep, a goat, or a turtle dove, those were five different animals that were considered clean and were able to be sacrificed. Any one of those five, those would literally be sacrificed, that firstborn, to the Lord. Now, if it was another animal, and so the Lord gives an example, like a donkey, then a lamb, one of those five clean animals would be offered in its place to redeem it. If not, then the donkey's neck was to be broken. That sounds really harsh, but why? Here it is. God was laying down a protocol. If you redeem it, it is free because you gave to God a representation of it by giving something else of equal value. You redeemed it. But if you don't redeem it, then God is saying, don't ride on my donkey when you haven't paid for it. Isn't that interesting? It belongs to him. We give him that what as a redemption for it. Because if you don't redeem it, it could come back to hurt you and your family because you've taken what's really God's. Powerful principle. Now, what does this mean? Well, to begin with, here are two foundational principles that arise out of the law of first things. Number one, what is first belongs to God. What is first belongs to God. It may be sacrificed, it may be redeemed, but whatever it is, we are to recognize that it belongs to him first. By the way, you're going to get everything straight in your life if you remember that. What is first belongs to him. Secondly, what is done with the first governs the rest. Would you say that with me? What is done with the first governs the rest. Now, here's a passage from Romans 11:16. If the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. What Paul is saying is really reaffirming this, that whatever is first and what is done with it determines what happens to all the rest. It affects everything else. You know, the key of this is the principle of foundation. What do you do with the foundation? Now, you all are now aware we've built a building over here. And the first thing that they did was what? They built a foundation. If you were around, you would notice they didn't cut any corners building that foundation. In fact, it seemed to take forever to get everything set, to pour it, and then they were so careful because they knew, and we knew, that the foundation would affect the rest of the building. Can I encourage you? You need to have a foundation that honors God in every part of your life. Let's say you're beginning a relationship with someone. Start with God as your foundation. Then your relationship will have the strength to last every storm that life brings. And you know there are storms in this life. We need that foundation. So likewise, we need to have this mentality. But in giving, some feel that just to give is important. Like, I just need to throw money out there somewhere. You know, that would be like me saying, you know, I really want my lawn to be rejuvenated. This is every spring. I personally want to get more grass seed out there. So I go and I get and buy some grass seed. And then I'm just so eager to have my lawn changed. I get so wonderfully overwhelmed with that desire that I said, you know, I'm just going to start planting grass seed right now. So I open the window and I just start throwing seed out the window. Now, is that going to change my lawn? That's not even going to change anything. It's just going to be on the street, and it's going to mess up with other drivers and probably get me a ticket, you know. But sometimes we just throw it out there, and we think somehow that's going to make a difference. It's not that you plant it that's the only issue. It's where you plant it and how you plant it and that you give that focus. Some have been led to give this way. See, to waste what is given first will affect everything else that comes behind it. What you do at first affects everything else. It flavors everything else. Now, let's look at this in a slightly different way. This is another verse from the New Testament. And by the way, I want you to notice, we are equally covering the entire Bible with giving today. Some say, well, the Old Testament's the only place that really talks about tithing. Well, giving and the whole principle is the whole book all the way through, or the whole Bible. 2 Corinthians 8:5. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Paul was speaking about these other Christians, the Macedonian Christians, to the church of Corinth. And he mentioned that, first of all, they gave themselves to the Lord and then they gave themselves to us. He was clarifying that their first priority was always to God first. May I say this again as well? Whoever and whatever you're in, start by giving yourself to God first. Get that clear. You may be going to school. Well, give yourself to God first before you go into that school. You might be faithful to that school, but that's not your God. That person that you're, again, back to a relationship, that person cannot be your God and cannot be in place of God. Give yourself to God first, and then work on that relationship. So let me make this clear. Before God wants any of your possessions, he wants you first. You could give hundreds, even thousands of dollars, but if you have not first committed your life fully to him, it means nothing. Back to you, Pastor Matt.
Praise the Lord. Let's get into three thoughts that I hope that will be just encouragement regarding the giving of the tithe. Three factors to first things first giving. And the first thought is this. It's faith. Everybody say faith. So here's the thing is that faith, there's a scripture that's kind of our go-to. When we're going to talk about faith, or if you're talking to somebody about faith, or you want to read a devotional on faith, you'll pretty much be taken to Hebrews 11:6. And there's a portion of it, and it says this right here. And it is impossible to please God without faith, okay? Now, before I go any deeper into this, I want to share just first of all, I want to touch a little bit on what the tithe is not. Now, everybody, please, I didn't say this morning. Maybe we should wiggle some toes because I might step on some feet, but I'm not really trying to. But the tithe is not the giving of above and beyond. When you give to the building fund, when you give to the children's ministry, when you give to missions, that's not your tithe. That is the above and beyond. I've had questions with people that say, well, what if, I give my tithe here, but there's another church that, you know, and guys, I'll tell you this. I've heard this. I've been in ministry now for almost 35 years, and I've had this conversation. I feel like I've come to the place, Pastor Brad, that I just feel like the answer is this. My tithe goes where I worship. Where are my family? Where are my home groups? Where is it? You know, this is, where have I dug into? That's where your tithes should go. My father pastored, he planted a church. My mom and dad planted a church down in Nashville called Christ First Nashville. It's doing amazing. But when they first started, they didn't have a salary. So my brother and I started sending money to them to help cover their salary. But guys, it was after my tithe. Is everybody with me? That was above and beyond. Give to CBN. Give to Daystar. Give to somebody that you, but a gift to House of Blessing, but that is above and beyond. It is not your tithe. Guys, this was something that I learned very young. Do you guys remember, if you're from the AG, you'll remember Buddy Barrels. Do y'all remember, does anybody remember Buddy Barrels? Okay, these are Buddy Barrels. Now, 1949, I wasn't around, but believe it or not, those wooden barrels were still being given out in the early 70s. And they were horrible because they opened kind of at the halfway point and your money would go everywhere all the time. But guys, here's what happened was that we learned that we'll stuff quarters in there. We'd stuff dollar bills in them, saving them for BGMC and all this. But they would tell us, this is not your tithe. This is to go to help with missions and speed the light or whatever you wanted to. But guys, let me tell you something. They didn't build them well. As you can see these little red lids on the top? My goodness, you know. Well, these two brothers that were in one class, I think I was 7 or 6 years old, one of the brothers thought that his brother had taken money out of his buddy barrel to put it into his buddy barrel, and the next thing you know, they got in a fight, and buddy barrel money was going everywhere, you know what I mean? And so here's the thing is, though, is that I was learning that this is above and beyond. Guys, you do not tithe to get rich. I'm not a prosperity preacher. Do I believe that God blesses us in that way? When we say things like, I'm giving God my tithe, there's also another way that you could kind of change that. Or the middle tenth, it has to be the first tenth. You guys, look at this formula right here. This is called the 10-10-80 formula. And there's a lot of pastors and speakers that use this, and it's actually a very wise formula. But what it is that of your income of the month, that 10% goes to tithe, that 10% they recommend goes to savings, and then you live off the 80. Okay, and you can do it 10, 80, 10, however you want. But the biblical, and here's the thing is that's not a biblical mandate. It's just a wise formula. But what is biblical is this. The tenth is always first. No matter in this formula, the way that they present this is that it's a tithe, or it's life and savings, or tithe, savings, and life. But it's always the tithe is first. I don't need faith to give at the end of the month because I'm waiting to see if all my bills can be paid. That's not faith. Is everybody with me? If I'm waiting to see, make sure all my bills are getting paid and all this, and then I tithe, there's no faith required there. In fact, we have months where we have 4 and 5 weeks, and I want you to get this picture, is that if we can understand that if we're waiting to the 4th and 5th week to pay our tithe, that tithe cannot bless week 3, 2, and 1. It's when we give on week 1, when we give him our first fruits, is that what blesses everything that follows. Come on, give me an amen. I know we're getting a little quiet in here, but the first determines what will happen with the rest. Look at what God did with his son. He gave his first and only son to us, and Jesus paid it all for us. Pastor Brad talked about us. We are redeemed because of God's first and only son, Jesus, and we benefit. We are blessed because of that gift of God. Am I thankful for what God has done and for what he's provided? Do I have the faith and the trust to allow God to provide a deeper pool of blessing for me to dive into? And you might say, Pastor Matt, I don't have a lot to give. It's not that big. Or you might say, Pastor Matt, I don't even know where to begin when it comes to giving to the Lord. Let me address that one first. I would just start with 2%. Start somewhere. Start somewhere small. Just see what God can do with that little. Just begin the tithe. And that's why when we read in the Old Testament where God says, test me on this. Let me prove this to you. Let me prove that I can bless you. And then you might say, oh, well, Pastor Matt, it's just not that big, or I don't have enough to give. Guys, Mark Batterson nails this one right here about as far as like what we think is little that God can do big. Look at this. He says, if you do little things like they're big things, God will do big things like they're little things. Isn't that great, you guys? Come on, Pastor Brad.
Love that quote. Thank you, Pastor Matt. Point two. First one is faith. The second factor is priority. Say that with me. Yeah, priority. So we learned about the law of first things, and we saw the principle of the firstborn. I want to take you to one other important place that starts in the Old Testament. It's the examination of first fruits. First fruits. And again, if you have your Bibles, you can go to Leviticus chapter 23. Now, most of you may not have majored in studying Leviticus, but Leviticus here shows the festivals or the feasts that the Jewish people were to celebrate. And it spells it out in an amazing way. They actually spell out really the way God is going to fulfill his word. And the first three are described there. And this is the third one. Let's read it in Leviticus 23, verse 9. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land that I give you and reap its harvest, you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord so that you may be accepted. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Now, the first fruits is literally what it says, the first of the fruits of the harvest they would bring, and as the priest waved it, it said that you would be accepted, and it would be blessed, and up there. Now, as I mentioned, it was the third of the feasts, and the first one is Passover. The very next day begins the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and then, very interestingly, the very next day after that is the Feast of First Fruits. Why would there be so much in a row? Well, I believe God was already setting up here what was going to happen in Jesus' life. Think about it. Jesus died on Passover. He was the Passover lamb, the last Passover lamb that was necessary. He was in the tomb on the Feast of Unleavened Bread because his body was laying there, but it was not corrupted. Just like the bread that has no yeast in it does not get corrupted. The Feast of Unleavened Bread. And get this. On the day after the Sabbath, he rose again as the first fruits of all resurrection. Isn't that amazing? Jesus fulfilled those three feasts right in a row. God never makes a mistake, and he has an amazing calendar. Now, I want you to understand that because Paul gets excited about this and directly references this in 1 Corinthians 15. It says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Read this with me. Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, those who are Christ's at his coming. Paul used the term first fruits because he was directly thinking about what happened on that day of resurrection. It was the Feast of First Fruits. Now, this was fascinating to me. I had never seen this before, but my devotions took me to 1 Corinthians 16. Look what it says in verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, Paul's writing about giving. As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also on the first day of the week. Now I ask you, what is the first day of the week? Sunday. Well, I thought it was Monday. Our workplaces, our calendars say Monday's first, right? But in the Jewish understanding, the last day of the week is the Sabbath. The first day of the week is Sunday. And so this is the first day. He says, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Here's what Paul is instructing about collecting an offering. He essentially says this, on the day of first fruits, bring your first fruits. Isn't that good? On the day of first fruits, bring the first fruits of what you've earned in the previous week. Now, that's why we worship on Sunday, by the way. The church made that seismic shift because we determined we were always going to remember the resurrection. And that's why every Sunday is a resurrection Sunday. It's a day of first fruits. And then he instructed us to give as a proportion of how we prospered. Look in this version, New Living Translation. On the first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion, say portion, of the money you've earned. Did I say you need to give everything? No, God didn't even say that. But it's proportion to what you've earned. Let's say you've earned nothing this past week. Well, that portion is going to be a different amount. It's going to be based on that. But what you need to see here is that first fruits is a picture of priority. God is exhorting us through Paul to make him our priority in our giving. Now, this is what it looks like in the shed home. When I start the month, and by the way, I receive a check twice a month. So I give twice a month. I don't believe you need to try to be legalistic about every week, but when you receive funding, I go and I have just a sheet of paper, and I start at the top. This is the amount that I received. Now, when I was without a full-time job, that was a much smaller amount. But whatever that amount is, then the first expense underneath that is my tithe. And then I go through and I list out all the other expenses. You know what I've discovered? If I put God first at the top, there's enough money at the bottom. But if I start with all the expenses, God gets like a little bit of spare change. It starts by trusting him and making him a priority. Can you say amen? All right, Pastor Matt.
Praise the Lord. Good stuff. So the third thought, first things first, giving. We have faith, we have priority, and we have blessing. Everybody say blessing. So you guys, check this out. This was interesting. I came across this statistic. It's going to come up on the board for you here. In 2018, Christianity Today stated that only 5% of churchgoers tithe. Now, guys, I was shocked by that, so I didn't think it was right. I didn't trust it, so I went back in. I went to Barna Group. I love getting their stats. And so I went in. In 2019, Barna Group put the number more around 3%. And that really caught me off guard. So I went, and I was doing some more study or just researching. And there's a company called Vanco that helps church giving stats and strategies to improve their financial stewardship. And they support Barna Group's number. And this is what they said. Out of the 247 million citizens identifying as Christians, 1.5 million people across our United States of America pay their tithe. That puts the statistic right around my money. And they're not recognizing that it's God's, and they're missing out on his blessing on their lives. Give me an amen. Now, guys, here's the thing is, I want to encourage you, because that's kind of discouraging, but I want to encourage you. At Harvest, we hand of praise. What that tells me, though, is that there's a number of us, pretty much 75% of us, that still have not stepped into what I believe is one of the greatest ways that God blesses us, because this is like, again, like I said, I'm not doing this to get rich. I want my marriage to be blessed. I want my children to be blessed. Y'all feel me? I want my job to be blessed. I want my future to be blessed. And that's what we come under when we do this. He wants to do so much more for us. Now, there is a scripture in Luke chapter 6 that when we talk about tithe, a lot of believers will go to this scripture. And I want to read it for you. And this is what it says. Give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, and will be poured into your lap. The crazy thing about the scripture is that Jesus is not specifically talking about the tithe in the scripture. He's actually talking about, if you go back and read it in chapter 6, he's actually talking about don't judge people, to show mercy, to give forgiveness, and to be a blessing. But what I love about this is that if you take the time and you really go to it and you look at it here where it says, give and it will be given to you, or in the Passion Translation, it says give generously. That word in the Greek is didomi. And didomi means to give, to bestow a gift, to pay what is due, or to deliver into one's power. A power that is above your own. And when I think about the tithe, that's exactly what we're doing. We're giving to God, who is above anything and everything that we could ever imagine, and we're trusting him with this gift. That we would want to give because it functions as an act of faith. Stewardship, priorities, it helps us with our obedience, and the list goes on and on and on. But what's so cool, though, is once we get into that word give, then we understand that scripture that he's using for don't be judgmental, it also applies to giving. You can go back now and look at it in this way. I love being able to talk about pressed down, shaken together, because both of them are talking about making more room. Shaken together in the Passion Translation says shaken down to make room for more. You know, we would go to family luncheons, I don't know, two or three times a month in California with the Stewarts. And we, big family, we're a huge family. and lots of cousins, and we would go and we'd eat over at my grandma and grandpa's, and we'd be sitting around our tables, and I would see my aunts and uncles kind of push back from the table, and they would undo their belt and their top button. You know what I'm saying? To their pants. Why are they doing that, you guys? To make more room, you know, for some more food to go down. Well, you know, my wife, Lori, and her sister, Joni, they would go and eat with this family occasionally, and she would say that the mother of this family was built more for comfort than for speed, and she would be sitting there eating, and she would look over at the girls, and they'd go, she'd say, girls, if you want to be able to eat more, just sit back sometimes and take some deep breaths, you know. Hey, I don't know if that works or not, you guys, but to making room for more. What about running over? I see this as that God just turns on this faucet, and he doesn't stop halfway. He doesn't stop at the top. He keeps pouring until, listen to what I'm about to say, until we notice it's going over the sides. What I love about this verse, the visual and the truth that it gives, is that when we give through faith, when we make tithe a priority in our lives, God is going to bless us. So much so that it runs over the sides and it begins to affect the lives around us. Man, how many, do you guys love it when you can bless somebody? Yes. That's what we're talking about here. When I tithe, again, I want to say this. I've seen what God has done, how he's blessed us. He's healed Lori and I in certain parts of our bodies through our marriage. He has healed our marriage, or he has made our marriage blessed. We begin to recognize all of the blessings in our lives. And here's a challenge and an encouragement to you. Now, when I read the scripture, you're not going to think it's very encouraging. But it's coming out of Malachi chapter 3, and here it is right here. And he's talking about robbing God. He says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? What's it say, you guys? In what? In tithes and offerings. When we came out in 2007, it was so that Lori could go to Regent University to get her master's in journalism broadcast, following a calling on God to prepare for television. She ends up getting hired by CBN in 2008, and she graduates with her master's in 2011. She had to put off a year just because of the workload and everything. But guys, when she finished, you know, there was a $60,000 school bill coming. And when we got done, guess what the government did? Government wants us to start paying on the loan. They call for the loan. We couldn't afford to pay the loan, so we had to put it in deferment for 6 months. And in that 6 months, it accrued so much interest that we spent years, everybody say years, paying down interest just so that we could make a dent in the principal. So you have to understand where I'm at this, because during this whole time, I'm tithing. Tithe was always at the first, but I would thank the Lord that the loan didn't come until the end of the month. So on the 26th of every month, we knew we would have to pay this school bill. So I would pay my tithe, grumbling, you know, a little upset about that school bill, and then I'd pay the school bill. Then the next month, I would pay tithe, and there would be this grumble. Guys, I would walk around with my dogs late at night, and I'd be having conversations with God like, you called us out here for this. Why are we under this huge bill now? God, you called this. And so I'd pay the tithe, a little grumbling, and then I would pay the bill. Again, I'm paying double so that I can get into this. So fast forwarding now, a year and a half ago. I've shared this a little bit before, but Lori's on her computer. She sees this email come through. It looks like spam, and she's just about to throw it into her trash. And the Holy Spirit goes, open this. So she pulls it back up, and she opens it up. And it's this program for those who work at nonprofits. You had to work at a nonprofit. You had to pay your bill for 10 years without missing 1 month payment. And if you do this, George Bush set this up years ago, that if you do this and that you can prove it, that you could be possibly let out of your loan, the rest of your loan. So Lori filled out all the paperwork, sent it in, you know, and told them the companies that carried the loan. And sure enough, you know, we didn't hear nothing, not a thing from them. 8 months later, I go to the mailbox, and there's an envelope about that thick. And I go out there, you guys, and there's 48 checks totaling $11,340 paying us back for the over that I paid. But on top of that, which I didn't share this morning, it led us, but we still owed $40,000 on this school loan. So not only did, because I was faithful in the tithe and continued to pay for the bill, that ended up being a $51,000 blessing. Guys, look at what the Lord has done. This is what I'm talking about. The Lord did this. Did President Biden do this? Absolutely not. Did President Bush do this? Absolutely not. This is unexplainable. I walked into the bank with this, and they had never seen anything like it. They didn't even know what to do with it. Because we stayed faithful. Listen, guys, capture this one. This is, I hope, sinks in. If I wouldn't have paid 1 month, let's say I'm just ticked off 1 month and I go, I ain't paying it. I don't want to pay. I don't want to pay the $500, whatever it was. Guys, if I would have missed one, we would have been disqualified for what this blessing. But check this out. Here's the beauty. If you forget to pay your tithe 1 month, you know, and it happens, God doesn't disqualify you. He waits for you. He understands, and he wants that relationship to grow. He wants you to be able to trust him. So I want to encourage you with that. Because we stayed faithful, because we were obedient, because we didn't lose faith, God did something that to this day, it's hard to believe what he's done and how to try to explain to somebody how amazing our God is. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, look at this. Glorify God with all your wealth, honoring him with your first fruits, with every increase that comes to you, then every dimension of your life will overflow with blessings from an uncontainable source of inner joy. And see, my giving back to God is one way that I've been able to see God's blessing in our lives, and it has strengthened our marriage. It has made us, given us a healthy perspective on what it is to have this type of relationship with God in our giving. And so as your pastor, because like I said, this is discipleship for me as well as it is you, that I hope you will consider worshiping God not just in the unseen places of your heart and mind, but also through your tithe.
I'd like to share a story and then bring this to a close. I was taught about tithing when I was a little kid. I want to encourage you parents, just start them early because it becomes a habit. So I would get a little dollar allowance and my dad would break it up so I could give 10 cents to God. Now, just that little 10 cents. You know, later, thankfully, inflation even affected my allowance. So I got a little bit more and had a little bit more to give. But that habit of the 10% was something that stuck with me when it got a whole lot more, and it's a gulper when I give. But at the same time, it's a place of faith and a place of habit. Well, when I met Allison, she had come from a different denominational background in their family, and they didn't teach her at all about giving, really. And so we just sat down together, and she was working. We were both trying to save every penny we could for our ability to get married. And she was working at a restaurant that overlooked the river down near Cincinnati, just over the river in Kentucky. Beautiful restaurant that rotated around. And so it was a great job. But she chose to not be in the smoking area. She preferred not to, and she just felt like it was a better clientele for her to work with. But if you know that a server is working on tips, right? And so if you're in the smoking area, those are generally larger bills. They're getting a lot more of different things that would add up to more. But she began, and she would get every night, actually. Whatever she made that night, she'd pull out 10% and put it away so we could give it on Sunday. And wouldn't you know it? Though she never worked in the smoking area, she began to have the highest tips of anyone in the restaurant. That's God doing a miracle, isn't that? And that's so that blessing can flow. Now, I'm not here to say that somehow we have a Lamborghini in our driveway or a Porsche. We have appliances that have lived a lot longer than should in a family of 10. And Coy can testify to that. We have appliances that keep living, and we're grateful. And we had our first Shed's Ark. It was a 15-passenger van. Some of you are familiar with seeing that van around here. It lasted, listen, for 18 years. It's an American-made car. 18 years and 335,000 miles. Isn't that a miracle? I call it a blessing from God. So we're talking about blessings that you may not see or may not hear somebody say, oh, if you'll do this, you'll get a handkerchief and everything will change in your life. No, we're not talking about prosperity. We're talking about blessing so we can be a blessing. And God wants to release that in your life in a greater way. So would you bow your heads with me? Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for your working in people's lives today. I thank you for your calling to them to make you a priority and to understand first things. So we really need to deal with the very first thing. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you may have come today and you really don't know anything about having a relationship with God. You've never actually made a step of saying, first of all my life, Lord, I want to invite you to be the Lord of my life. I'd like to pray with you in just a moment. And I want to know who is here today that say, Pastor Brad, this convicted me. Pastor Matt, I'm challenged. And today, I sense the Lord saying, I need to open my heart to him and make him the Lord of my life. Is there anyone that needs to raise their hand with me and say that? God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You can put your hand down. Father, I pray for this young lady. I ask that you will bless her to make this priority clear in her life. Today, she's making you the Lord of every part of her life. Hear her cry. Follow up with her, Lord Jesus, and bless her as she chooses to put you first. Thank you, Lord. With head bowed and eyes still closed, I want to ask you today for three areas of prayer, prayer points. And I believe that by raising your hand, you are saying before the Lord, God, help me in this area. The first one is there anyone that say, Pastor Matt, Pastor Brad, I'm struggling with the faith to believe that God's really going to come through if I start giving, even if I start with 2%. If that's you, would you raise your hand nice and high and say, help me with my unbelief. Help me to grow in my faith. Anyone else raise their hand on that? All right, put your hands down. Some of you may be saying, I do give, but God is convicting me today that I need to make it a priority. It doesn't need to be at the end of the month or when I've finished all my budgeting. I need to make it first place. Anyone feeling that conviction would raise their hand and say, God, help me to make it a priority. God bless you. God bless you. Hands down. And the last one is this, because this is a challenging one. You say, I am giving. I am trusting. I am believing. But I'm not quite sure I'm seeing the blessing I was expecting. And I'm kind of wrestling with God because I thought this was kind of a, I give this much, I get this much back, or what? And you're just saying, help me today to understand and look and see how he's blessing me. Anyone will raise their hand and say, I'm trying to trust the Lord with the blessing at all. All right, thank you. Would you all stand with me?